Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Talking to Gabrielle, it really reminds you what some people are facing today, right now, you know, looking at that situation. The 8th of June is when she needs that next dose, and her ask is very simple, just want an extra bit of time with my two little boys. Now, the British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, is not going to push the US President Joe Biden for a trade deal during a visit to Washington next week. This is according to Downing Street. Some US Congress members had hoped that negotiations could be revived after Britain and the EU struck a deal over trading arrangements in Northern Ireland. And with more on this, I'm joined now by George Parker, who's political editor with the Financial Times. George, thanks for joining us. Now, if we think back to 2019, the Conservative government at that time said that there will be a UK-US trade deal by July of 2020. That was 3 years ago. Downing Street, though, admitting today that they're no longer seeking this trade deal with Washington. So can you explain to us what's going on?
Yes, well, if you go a little bit further back to 2016 and the EU referendum, the Brexit referendum, you'll remember that one of the biggest claims of the Brexiteers was that the big showstopper economic advantage of Brexit would be this trade deal with the United States. And as you say, they repeated the promise 3 years later in the Conservative manifesto. But the truth of the matter is that it hasn't happened. It probably wasn't going to happen anyway because Joe Biden and the Democrats are not enthusiastic about trade deals, as indeed Donald Trump wasn't either. And so hearing Downing Street say that they aren't going to be pushing for a trade deal, well, that's mainly because the Americans aren't in a position to offer one at the moment and not for the foreseeable future. So it's this big sort of gain from Brexit, that yet another gain from Brexit has just disappeared down the pan.
And are people paying attention to this? I mean, has there been a public reaction? Because pushing for part of this deal, it was a big part of the Brexit campaign, as you've explained to us, quietly pushed aside now. Are people seeing that this is happening?
To be honest with you, it hasn't attracted a massive amount of attention here because I think for a long time people have kind of recognised the trade deal wasn't going to happen. In fact, Liz Truss, when she was briefly Prime Minister, admitted it wasn't going to happen. But I think it's also a function of the fact that the public over here have become so accustomed to the fact that Brexit isn't actually going to deliver anything that people just shrug their shoulders. You know, you had Nigel Farage the other day admitting that Brexit had been a failure. If you look across the board, the trade deals haven't materialised, economic growth has been poor, the fishing industry is on its knees. All of the gains, the bonfire of red tape, all of the supposed gains of Brexit have not materialised. Mm-hmm. And this is just another one to add to that list. And I think people are shrugging their shoulders in despair, really. And you look at the opinion polls over here and you can see that support for Brexit is dropping very rapidly now.
And the spin on this from Downing Street, if you want to call it that, is that the trading relationship with the US, that's already strong. That's what Downing Street are telling us. How does that statement stand up, though? Is that true?
It is true. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, that this is one of the great successes of the Brexiteers in the referendum campaign. Because people don't really understand trade deals, they're quite complicated. They somehow managed to inject into the public consciousness the idea you can only trade with a country if you have a trade deal with it. Well, that isn't true, of course. Trade deals remove tariffs around the edges, but only a few, relatively small number of goods are actually subject to tariffs, mainly things like agricultural products. But generally, across the board, Britain does a lot of trade with the United States. They're by far our biggest trading partner. They always have been. And essentially, you do trade with another country if you've got things that the other country wants to buy. You know, Germany made a lot of money selling machine tools to China without a trade deal. So, yes, it's true we sell a lot of stuff to America. If we had done a trade deal with them, it's true we might have possibly boosted that trade a little bit more. But every trade deal creates winners and losers, and you tend to hear a lot more from the losers than from the winners. And the losers, in the case of a trade deal with America, would have been the admission to the UK market of lots of quite cheap American food.
Mm-hmm. And the Biden administration, I mean, we heard all the chat about how the relationship was between Rishi Sunak and Joe Biden when he visited the island of Ireland and he had that brief sit down with the British Prime Minister. At that point, people said it was a bit cold when it was put in the context of how he got on in the Republic of Ireland. But the Biden administration never really showed any interest in negotiating this deal, post-Brexit deal, did they?
No, they didn't, and neither did Donald Trump. And basically, Americans aren't doing trade deals at the moment for the reason I just mentioned, that you create a load of losers. And, you know, if you open up your markets, you're essentially opening up your own producers to cheaper competition from abroad. And that's something that Joe Biden certainly isn't in the business of at the moment. Rather the opposite, he's engaging a massive program of domestic subsidies intended to keep jobs in America. So there was never any prospect of a trade deal in the short term with the Biden administration. And I think basically Downing Street would try to kill the whole idea before Rishi Sunak travels off to the White House next week mm-hmm. to see Joe Biden. And as you say, the relationship between those two is not exactly warm.
What will they be talking about if they're not going to be talking about a new trade deal?
They will certainly be talking about the war in Ukraine. They'll be talking about trying to improve economic relations generally, including this American Inflation Reduction Act, so-called this big program of subsidies, and to make sure that it doesn't operate in a protectionist way against European allies. I think they'll also be talking about artificial intelligence, which is obviously very much at the top of the news agenda today after that warning from leading AI executives. And Rishi Sunak's just put out a statement actually in the last half hour saying that he's going to be talking about this with Joe Biden, and there needs to be a global response to this. So I think that is rising very much to the top of the international agenda.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about something completely different now, because it's being fairly widely reported in the last little while that MPs are planning to question ITV executives over Philip Schofield's affair. This is the former This Morning presenter with a younger male colleague. And The Telegraph reports that members of the House of Commons Culture, Media and Sports Select Committee are going to use next week's televised session to question executives on their handling of the issue. I see The Times is also reporting that now, that is likely to happen. How big an issue is this? It's been in the headlines for quite some time now.
It's been a huge issue, I think, both sides of the Irish Sea, actually, and particularly here. It's been the big story of the last 2 weeks, Phil and Holly fallout, and then Philip Schofield's resignation. And, of course, then there's been a focus raised by former presenters on This Morning about the way that ITV handled this and executives handled it. What did they know and when? And you're right, it does seem slightly odd this should become the subject of a parliamentary inquiry. You know, it's important, obviously, for people to get to the bottom of there has been some sort of executive cover-up. My own slightly cynical hunch is this is a slightly obscure House of Commons committee trying to get its moment in the limelight by latching onto a matter of national debate. Now, you can't criticise parliamentarians for doing that. Actually, parliamentarians are normally accused of being slightly remote from everyday concerns. But I can't help thinking this is a bit of showbiz, really, next week.
But it seems to me, from just keeping an eye on the coverage, that people are becoming increasingly annoyed that we're not hearing from the top executives at ITV, other than these bland statements that they've issued over the course of this controversy.
Yeah, that's true. And it will, if the hearings go ahead, it's going to be a very uncomfortable session for them, for sure. And, I think some people have said that the media industry has so far sort of, escaped some of the scrutiny that other industries have been subject to in terms of Me Too and general misconduct at work. So in that respect, it will shine a light on things. But I still think it's quite an interesting decision by the committee to go down that route.
Mm-hmm. And the questions they will be asking seem to centre around these reports that this young man, who Philip Schofield has now said he had an affair with while he worked there, was given a financial settlement when he left ITV.
Yeah, I mean, that's the suggestion, the allegation. So I think that and the way that the ITV handled the appointment of this young man and then his departure will certainly be the focus of what MPs are going to be asking. And if you're looking at what will be probably the most watched bit of parliamentary television next week, it probably won't be Prime Minister's Question Time. It'll probably be that.
Yep, I think you're probably right there, George. Thank you very much. George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.